It's the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP. Now, here's Todd.
All right, welcome to the program. We're going to spend the first half of the show today talking about a big event that's coming up on the 31st. That's on Monday at PA City Pier in the evening, and that is the local marking of International Overdose Awareness Day. And we've got a couple of segments we're going to do that's related to that. In the first bit here, we're going to talk with the three folks that are going to give us a little bit of an overview and kind of the whys this happens, and they all represent sponsors that are putting on this as well. So we welcome Miranda Beck from the North Olympic Healthcare Network. We have Larry Caron here, harm reduction at Clallam County and public health, and Joelle Berdeau from American Behavioral Health Systems joining us. Thanks all three of you for coming in. And I'll just throw it out there first. I don't know, maybe I'll go to you, Miranda, first, or we'll go over to Larry. Either one of you can talk about just the nuts and bolts as to what's happening on Monday down at City Pier. Everybody's looking at each other like, okay, I'll go. No, you go.
Well, I can do an introduction.
Larry's going to go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So I can do an introduction to International Overdose Awareness Day. So it's observed annually on August 31st since 2001 in response to rising overdose deaths nationwide. This is the world's largest campaign to end overdose, reduce stigma, and support families and friends affected by overdose. And our 2026 theme this year is Together We Remember, Together We Act.
So, yeah, and this is international. This is a day all across the world. Yes. These similar events are happening, mm-hmm. Correct? So at City Pier, tell us what you guys are going to have set up down there.
So we will begin at 6 p.m. with opening statements. We will have the tribe there to do the opening ceremony statements. We will have open mic time. All the agencies will be tabling what we offer. We really want to offer, you know, options for grief and to show where it's possible in our town. We will be having a moment where we get to ring a bell or a gong and state a person's name, a loved one that we have lost. Go ahead.
Oh, Joelle. And we'll also be doing candle lighting event for the lost in remembrance. And
is that at a specific time, by the way? I mean, for folks who might want to partake in just that, should they be there at a certain time?
So we will be doing the candle lighting in the closing when it gets a little darker because it ends at 8 p.m.
Right. So the last part of that, if you want to be part of that as well. This has gone on locally. I don't know. How many years has there been a local marking of this? Do you guys happen to know?
Yes. It's the 25th anniversary. Okay. Like, it is still needed. 25 years.
Right. So let's talk a bit about that. I mean, Larry, I'll go back over to you. I guess you most directly work with folks and families that are involved. But, overdose is still a big issue locally.
Yes. So, in 2023, we were number one of all the counties in Washington State for overdose rates. Now we are number 16, so we've had a drastic decrease. I think a lot of that has to do with increased naloxone saturation into the community, as well as more education, more expansion into treatment for medications for opioid use disorder, and more collaboration between agencies. So definitely a really awesome decrease, but it's obviously still needed, and we still need all of those services to connect people to care.
Is it safe to say, I mean, with more Narcan, more of these reversal medications out there, that the number of people that might be overdosing hasn't necessarily decreased? It can skew the stats somewhat, I guess, where we might start thinking, well, it's just because fewer people are overdosing. Well, they're not dying because of an overdose, perhaps.
Yeah, that can be true. So, for instance, a lot of the work that I do at the Harm Reduction Health Center, I get like reported anecdotal overdose reversals from participants who won't necessarily call EMS.
Yeah, and I guess that is another part of it too, because it's available out there. It's not easily tracked as to when it's always administered, right?
Yeah. But we definitely have seen a decrease in fatal overdoses.
Yeah.
But let's talk about things like fentanyl and things that are not as easily reversed, perhaps. Talk a bit about that.
Sure. So illicit fentanyl, the biggest issue that we see with the current illicit fentanyl supply is actually the additives to it. So often there's sedatives added to the fentanyl to give it legs, so they say, to increase the duration of effects. Those are sedatives that will not respond to naloxone, so that kind of changes what your overdose response will be. And that includes really focusing, because the naloxone will work on the opioid that's present, not necessarily the sedative. Mm-hmm. So being able to focus on making sure that person is able to breathe on their own, definitely calling EMS as well.
All right, Joelle, I'll go to you and talk a bit about kind of getting folks into treatment is a big part of this story, too. It's great to keep people from dying, but what you want to have to happen next is, right, get them some help so that they don't get into the situation again.
Of course, it's one of the most important things. It starts out with education, you know, to be able to kind of lure them in a way where you show them a better lifestyle. And American Behavioral Health Systems, one important aspect about us is the business hires recovering addicts. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, that whole perspective, it puts a lot of compassion out towards the people that we help and serve within the inpatient and outpatient facility. It gives us a better understanding of what our purpose is. Yeah.
What is the biggest obstacle for, you know, getting someone to get, not only, I guess, into a treatment situation, but to stick with it? Because we hear a lot of people who may, you know, say they're going to do something and then they don't follow through it. There are many that do, but what is the biggest barrier, would you say?
The biggest barrier is a willingness. It's a belief in self. Yeah. You know, there's a big barrier right there where they don't really believe too much in themselves. But when we have that knowledge and that wisdom to be able to help them and let them know that it is worth it, and if you keep going, you're going to see there's a difference, a difference in life, a difference in everything you do. It just opens up your world.
Yeah. And in our second segment on this, we're going to get some testimonial on some of this that I think might answer a little bit as well about that. Miranda, in a clinical sense of things, how do you get people to that next step? So someday maybe we don't have to have one of these days. I'm not saying that's going to happen tomorrow, but that would be a great goal.
That would be a beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. So I personally am on the outreach and navigation team and work closely with Behavioral Health and OBAT. I'm one of the case managers, and we partner with Olympic Community Health as a trusted partner. But I myself are like, I'm out in the public. I go down to the harm reduction every week. I do case management through the jail. So I get to see a lot of people that are coming in and out. And I actually just started doing this in the last 6 months. So they're getting to know me, and the whole building a rapport with the patients, with the community members, because they're not always a patient of mine, but I'm going to be there for support. I think it's just being willing to be there with them and walking through the coming out of that dark place that they're in.
Well, and addiction is it's a disease. I mean, I think those who are lucky enough not to have to suffer through that don't get it, probably, in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And and there's a lot of trust issues and a lot of things that go with it.
Right.
As you just said.
Yeah, so many of us, even myself coming out of active, like I had trouble even speaking to certain people because of the stigma, feeling like they're going to judge me and they're going to turn me away right now because they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you get looks, you get attitudes, you get like this pushback from some people. And it's unfortunate, because if I didn't have somebody, like,
So suffice to say, I mean, that then you'll just continue doing what
Absolutely.
You know. Right?
Yeah.
I'll just not
completely
make a
in survival mode.
Yeah, got it. Larry, let's talk about how, you know, doing an event like this might help somebody that might be in, an active addiction or trying to get turned around.
So I think, first of all, this event is really important for people that have lost loved ones to overdose, because overdose death is very stigmatized, and that grief is also stigmatized, which is important to, like, really think about. But I think just having this event and being so, like, public and open, and we're all doing these kind of, like, mindfulness grief activities, things like that, it makes it easier to open up and talk about what's going on with you, which I think is really important.
Okay. This is open for the whole public. You'd like everybody to show up and show support and actually learn some things too, perhaps about services and what is out there, because I would guess there's probably a lot of families out there that have somebody in, you know, active addiction somewhere, and they don't really know what they could do to help them. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, this is a great, like, I just think this is such a special community event, because you can get connected to so many different agencies, but also just kind of have, like, open dialogue and connection.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, thank all three of you for coming and giving a little insight into this. You'll all be represented at this with pamphlets and tables and people there. We're going to take a quick break and switch gears up and bring a couple of other folks in that have some testimonials, so a little of their backstory on how they have recovered and gone through all of this, and kind of how this plays for them. And we'll chat a bit more about that. But first, just a reminder that the event is at City Pier this Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. It's free. It's family-friendly, open to the public, and towards the end of that, they're going to do the candlelight ceremony, but there's all sorts of things happening between that as well. And we'll take a break. We'll get a couple of inside stories about where people came from addiction to where they are today when we come back right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.
Hi, it's Dan Shappy with Farmers Insurance. Community matters, and that's why we're proud to support Todd Ortloff and local voices that keep us connected. If you want insurance advice from real neighbors, stop by our office on Peabody Street. Real people helping real people right here at home.
Dan Shappy and Farmers Insurance is proud to sponsor the Todd Ortloff Show every Monday through Thursday at 1 p.m.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
And now a word from our friends at the Eagles Club in Port Angeles. They welcome new members every day. Be part of the club with some fantastic membership perks right now, like discounted cover charges for events, live music, discounted facility rental, a whole lot more. The friendly faces behind the bar will greet you with foods and snack options every day, and you'll always feel like you're right at home when you step inside the Eagles Club. They offer something for everyone. Poker on Tuesdays with a $20 buy-in. Just bring a member to sign you in. And stop by on Wednesday and experience the Imperfectionist Music Jam session. That's free, with an Eagles member to sign you in as well. On Thursdays, pop on by for Barstool Bingo at 6 p.m. The sales start at 5:30. And Friday, the members-only Queen of Hearts raffle is up to a jackpot of over $30,000. And every Saturday evening, you'll hear some live music from very talented local musicians. Sundays, they serve breakfast to the public, 9:30 till noon. Find out more by becoming an Eagles member today. Stop on by or call 360-452-3344.
Attention, the Backyard Butchers are in Port Angeles right now with 20 ribeyes for only $39. The truck only holds so much, and when they're gone, they're gone. Look for the big red truck in the parking lot at AutoZone in Port Angeles. Shop now or pay double at the grocery store. 20 ribeyes for $39. Look for the big red truck at AutoZone in Port Angeles. Ask about our crab leg specials. Go to backyardbutchers.com. Cash, credit, debit, EBT accepted. Bathfitter is celebrating over 42,000 installations in Western Washington. That's 42,000 bathrooms made safer, cleaner, and more stylish. Right now, get free installation and no interest financing for 24 months on the bathroom of your dreams. Custom fit tub and shower solutions installed in as little as one day with complete removal of your old setup, backed by a lifetime warranty. Visit bathfitternw.com for your free consultation. Special financing for qualified buyers only.
Back with more. We've got one more segment here that is related to the International Overdose Awareness Day, which is being marked in Port Angeles Monday from 6 to 8 o'clock at Port Angeles City Pier. And as I said, in this segment, we're going to get a little bit of a testimony, a little bit of the kind of feeling part of this and how people have recovered from addiction as well. So we shuffled chairs just a bit. Miranda's going to stick around with us in this segment as well. And we also welcome Tina Schroeder and Stephanie Aiken from Reflections Counseling Services Group to come in and chat a bit about this as well. So I'll just, we'll go back to Miranda because you had talked in the last segment a bit about being, you know, in recovery yourself.
Yeah, actually September will be 9 years off of active IV heroin use.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
So
9 years.
That's so good. Did you think that, you know, when you started that journey that you would make that?
I didn't see myself making a day.
Yeah.
I actually had 3 non-fatal overdoses myself. And so to see me today is like not something that would, even my family never saw it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you followed in the first segment, you're out. I mean, you've gone beyond just recovery. You're
yeah.
You're actually helping, and you've made this career out that's off and running. So,
yeah, congrats. I just graduated from college, the Bachelor's of Behavioral, which followed the addiction studies.
Yeah. So. Well, congrats on that.
Yeah.
And so I'll say, and I kind of asked this in the last segment, but you can tag on a bit more. How important is an event like this for someone like you, perhaps 9 years ago?
Mm. Yeah, so an event like this would have made me feel like I had a place to go, a place that I would be seen. I would see people and meet people that were just like me. Mm. A lot of times when we're in our active addiction, like, even being around a crowd is difficult.
Yeah.
And so being around a crowd that have been through situations like us and circumstances, it's a little more comforting.
Yeah.
A little more, the word is on the tip of my tongue. It's a little more inviting is the best word I can.
Yeah. So let's talk with Stephanie Aiken a bit about recovery. Same question, I guess. Your story and kind of where, you know, the importance of an event like this, because I think those in the general public may not get what it means for someone who might be right on the cusp of one way or another, perhaps, in their addiction journey.
Yeah, so I had 15 years as an IV active user. I probably used every substance under the sun. I have 6.5 years in recovery. In that 6.5 years, I have just completed my master's degree program in project management. I run an outreach department over at Reflections. Mm-hmm. And International Overdose Awareness Day, I had 7 non-fatal overdoses.
Wow.
And so to be able to be here today and be able to speak out, love to tell my story, and anyone who wants to ask, I'm willing to tell. So International Overdose Awareness Day gives us a chance to remember the people we have lost without judgment. It also reminds us that people who survive deserve compassion, immediate support, and access to services when they're ready. The moment of readiness can be brief, and every delay or missed handoff can cause someone to fall through the cracks.
That was my next point, was that you have a very tight window to get somebody, you know, and if you get them in, you probably have a good chance.
Yes.
But that's a closing window that closes fast, right?
It does close fast. And unfortunately, living in a rural community, it can be really extremely difficult to, you know, staffing challenges, distant challenges, if they have pets, or usually they come to us with the clothes on their back. And so there's a lot of challenge and barriers and hoops that we have to jump through just to get them there.
Good point. For you, how did you get into treatment finally? What got you there?
So I got in trouble with the legal system, and I actually am a drug court graduate.
Yeah.
So I graduated drug court and hit the ground running after that.
I know. I think a lot, you know, the changes in the drug laws that we have, where drug court does not have really the teeth to it that it used to. I'm assuming it, going back, I'm doing the math, you probably were facing some felony things if you had not gotten through drug court, correct?
Yes.
That was before the changes. Yeah.
6 of them.
So that got real.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and would you have done it without a drug court? And here's the thing. I think that the peer pressure that comes with drug court is almost as bad as the legal pressure that comes.
I think absolutely. I had actually had done prison time before that for four prior felonies. So I was capped out at 9. I was looking at 85 months. So it's either I look at my life and, you know, do some drug court and be on the pathway. I had a significant other that I was with that had sobered up and said, I'm ready for a new life. And so together we came out of our addiction and are married today. So
how about that?
Yeah.
Huh? All right. Would you say that, you know, all of that, you know, legal problems, drug related, I mean, could you trace some of those other issues, you know, all of the issues to that?
I would say between not getting my basic needs met, not being able to have a safe place to stay. And they didn't have the services when I was out in the streets like they do now. Being a peer support and bringing that hope, they did not have that here. And so being able to have that perspective, knowing that was a need that I needed and never gotten, I really struggled through just trying to figure it out. It was not easy. But because of that struggle, I get to make it a little bit easier for the next person coming through the door.
Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And we're going to be talking a bit, I think, down the road. You're coming in for a couple more segments with me, so we'll hear more, I'm sure, about your story down the line. I want to talk with Tina Schroeder as well. What's your story?
I have 10 years in recovery. So March 16th, 2016 is when I changed my life. Mm-hmm. I started at 16 years old. Intravenously with methamphetamines, and then it grew into heroin and just destruction all the way around. I am too a drug court graduate, also graduated Lift Court. It's a program where you can get your children back. I now have both of my children in my life. They're everything to me. I choose them over all of the things. I've had plenty of overdoses that have scared me, but not enough to want that change yet. And the person I would say when I stopped that was a part of that change would be Susan Hilgren. I was standing in the middle of my parents' trailer, bawling my eyes out because I wanted to see my kids. And my mom got a voicemail saying, hey, we got a bed date for Tina. And it was Susan Hilgren's voice on the other line. And so I went to treatment that next day. And so for Overdose Awareness Day, it means a lot to me. I get to see a lot of individuals that have changed their life that I have ran the streets with that, you know, maybe still are continuing to run the streets. But they get to look at all of us and realize that there is hope, that there is that change, that they can make that change. Overdose Awareness Day is the day that we remember those that we have lost and stand with everyone affected by overdose. We must replace stigma with compassion and judgment with support. By carrying naloxone, we learn the signs of overdose, reaching out for help, and sharing hope that we can save lives.
And I think as you three have pointed out, you're somewhat ambassadors to this in helping perhaps those who are maybe nearing that brief window we just talked about and maybe getting them to some treatment because they're probably going to look at somebody like you before me and say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You guys can say, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, I invite folks to get down Monday evening to City Pier and learn some things. There's all sorts of activities happening with it. There's also some ceremonial things that are happening too, and just kind of see what's going on as well. Oh yeah, we forgot almost one of the important parts, right?
Well, a few things we did not talk about. We didn't bring up that we are having raffle baskets, and we are doing where we can throw a rock into the water and let our grief go. Many of us bought a shirt that is for overdose awareness and did it paying for an extra one. So the people that are coming will be able to get a free shirt for the overdose awareness. And I do believe, I feel like she said almost 70 or 75.
Excellent.
Okay. So far. Yeah. So.
And also.
And.
Chili and cornbread.
Chili and cornbread.
And cake.
And cake. Yeah,
I can't let you out of here because you were told you got to make sure you get that out.
I didn't want to lead with that.
Well, it's a great event, and I know it's been going on forever, almost, well, 25 years or so here locally, but this will be the Monday. And I don't know, you know, usually this thing falls on an afternoon on a weekend quite often, so this is a little bit different perhaps than the last few years where it's been like on a Sunday. Yeah. So get down there Monday evening at City Pier and learn a little bit, meet these types of folks here, and support those in our community. Thank you so much, all three of you, for coming
Thank
in, and congrats on your journey as well.
Listen, every life we save is a life that still holds possibility.
That's a good point.
It's a chance to reconnect family. It's a chance to heal. It's a chance to enter treatment and discover hope again that we, some of us, never knew we even held until we experienced it. So.
Good words to end that on. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We're going to talk with Steve Therringer, who is retiring as 24th District Legislator, right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.